Welcome to our podcast. I'm Frank Long, Editorial Director of Rehab Management. I'm very pleased to present for the first time on this program, Hermano Hugo Krebs. Dr. Krebs is a principal research scientist and lecturer at MIT's Mechanical Engineering Department in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He holds a PhD in engineering and is going to update us about a neurological recovery system that will be of great interest to rehabilitation professionals and facilities, as well as patients and caregivers. Dr. Krebs, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Frank.
How did you come to invent the in-motion arm and wrist neurorecovery systems at MIT, and why are they effective in reducing functional impairment in people affected by stroke?
So it's quite interesting, the reasons behind it. A lot has to do with serendipity. I came to MIT as a graduate student in 1989, and I was looking for an interesting PhD research, but I have to confess the practicality. I needed somebody to support me financially during my studies. And through lab alumni, Dr. Mindy Azen, that presently is the president of, or chief medical officer of Rancho Los Amigos in California, I met what you might call a Vanderbilt, Dr. Fletcher McDowell, that was the president of Burke Rehabilitation Hospital in White Plains, New York, and also the president of the American Stroke Association. And he offered to cover the cost of my education at MIT, but there was one condition. I had to work on rehabilitation in collaboration with Dr. Azen, that at the time she was an attending physician in his rehab hospital. Now, as I took this opportunity and I looked my interest in robotics, and I have to confess that I was fascinated by the recent findings on brain plasticity and the fact that the brain can reconfigure itself much more like learning, I put the two together and consider if we couldn't have a real opportunity to promote advances on rehabilitation on people with brain injuries such as stroke, cerebral palsy, Parkinson's, spinal cord injury, multiple sclerosis, and others. So as I formulated the hypothesis that perhaps by training the affected limb segments in a consistent, repeatable manner, in accordance to neuroscience understandings, and we could get better outcomes, I presented this concept to Dr. McDowell, that was very excited about the idea, because according to him, most people that suffer, for example, a stroke would never regain fully use of the upper extremity. And actually, he asked me to attend some of the classes in the neurology department at Cornell, and there I met another collaborator, Dr. Bruce Volpe, that is from the Feinstein Institute and North Shore Jewish Long Island. And I was really impressed by his first slide in his class to the neurologist residents when he was talking about rehabilitation, and he paraphrased Voltaire and said that physicians, nurses, and therapists were there to entertain the patient while nature took its course. So I looked to that and I said, here we have a great opportunity. This is like, you know, the past thinking of rigid, static, hardwired brain to the concept of brain plasticity, and using the technology that was close to my heart, robotics, we could create a great tool not only to deliver therapy, but also to evaluate patients. And Dr. McDowell offered me all that I needed to test this. I had support to develop the equipment that would allow me to deliver consistent movements and evaluate patients in a quantitative way. In his facility, he has a large number of patients in need and available and interest in participating in studies to test this concept. And of course, he also offered the financial support for me to materialize this idea and be able to test it. So in a sense, I might say that serendipity might favor the prepared ones or lucky ones. And I was lucky because to some extent I was interested in robotics in the right time. And I met the right team at Burk Rehab that allowed me to put this vision forward and show that the technology can lead to extremely positive results and lead to better outcomes for patients. Now, I might say that at the time, and this was middle 90s, the concept of technology applied to rehabilitation was very novel and perhaps too pioneering for its time. And when we tried to present to different companies, large companies, the concept, most of them felt that while our results were very solid, there wasn't that much money on rehabilitation. So we formed a company because we wanted to have real impact and translate our academic success in beyond academic papers into real life and have a real impact on people's life. Now, if we look to what we are doing, essentially what we are doing is that we are taking the concepts of neuroscience, understanding how to proper time both the attempt of the patient to make the movement and the sensory information that returns from the movement execution, either by the patient himself or herself or with the assistance of the robot. We are able to deliver more than 800 to 1,000 repetitions in a 45-minute session instead of the typical 45 attempts that usual care will encompass. And we will be able to treat in a consistent way how the patients are experiencing this training in an interactive way, task-specific, and adapting to how the patient is performing. So we would only assist the patient as needed and providing the right feedback to enhance their outcomes.
Can you explain what a neurorecovery system is and what makes it effective as a rehabilitation technology?
The concept of neurorehabilitation and rehabilitation robotics in particular has to be put in perspective. Until the 70s and the 80s, the concept that the brain was plastic did not exist. We had the perception until then that the brain of an adult was hardwired, and if somebody, for example, would have a stroke, there wasn't much that we could effectively do to change the course of nature. However, what we learned in the 70s and 80s was the concept of brain plasticity. Through multiple experiments, neuroscientists did educate us on this concept that even in an adult, there is significant amount of brain plasticity that could conduct to rewiring or strengthening certain connections in the brain. And this, under this perspective, that perhaps we should look to neurorehabilitation and rehabilitation robotics in particular, because we can now understand that by changing the way we treat patients, the way we deliver therapy, we can influence the course of nature and nurture the patient to a better recovery.
Why is this technology and the products that apply it important right now?
So it's important for a multitude of reasons. First of all, we have to keep in perspective that the population is aging and aging fast. If we look to the U.S. with the aging of the baby boomers, will pass from around 14% of the population over 65 years of age to close to 22% of the population. And worldwide, particularly in some countries in Asia and Europe, this is going to be even more pronounced. For example, Japan, close to 38% of the population will be over 65 years of age in a few years, by 2050, to be more precise and follow the data that is available from the UN on people over 65 years of age. In Europe, close to 30% of the population. And even in places that we might not keep track of. Population is going to age very fast. One example, one very big example, is China, that due to the one-child policy is going to age at a particular fast rate. So many of the neurological pathologies or diseases have a higher incidence on the aging population. And we will have a significant demand, the population is aging, to provide better health care. And we cannot forget that the baby boomers are going to be demanding better care. And there will be less people, less caregivers available to be assisting the patient in their recovery period, in their recovery process. And because of that, we need to be taking consideration the concepts of brain plasticity to create technology that would increase the efficiency and the efficacy of the process of neural recovery.
How do we know the InMotion product line actually delivers functional improvement in subacute and chronic patients, including children and patients who are many years post-stroke?
So we have run multiple randomized clinical studies, just in my studies, with well over 1,000 stroke patients. And we demonstrated that using the robotic tools for the upper extremity in conjunction with usual care, we can achieve significant better outcomes than usual care alone. Now, let me be clear here. When I'm saying significantly better, I'm not just talking about statistical exercise. I'm talking about minimum clinical important differences. We are talking about having people be able to do things that they couldn't do before using this technique. And to give you an example, typically, depending on the group of patients, we will be looking at changes, for example, in a scale called the Fugelmeier, that for the upper extremity, the maximum is 66 points. We'll be looking for subacute of changes of the order of 9 points or 5 points for chronic population to be minimum clinical important difference. And we had done enough studies that presently, starting since 2010, the American Heart Association endorsed the use of robotics for the upper extremity in the stroke care. The VA does the same, and the Department of Defense does the same. We still have to do a better job for the lower extremity, and both in the 2010 guidelines as well as the recently issued 2016 guidelines from the American Heart Association, they are asking us to do a better job on lower extremity robotics to show that it can be better than just usual care. But for the upper extremity, we have demonstrated significant gains, and not only significant gains, but we also have shown that the overall cost is reduced. In the VA study, for example, one randomized clinical study that was conducted by the VA in 4 of their hospitals, they follow the patients not only to see the efficacy on how the patients were getting better in the robotic group compared to the usual care, but they also track the costs. And for the surprise of everybody, there was no increase in the total healthcare utilization cost. Actually, there was a slight decrease when we look to the robotic group, even considering the cost of purchasing the equipment. Now, because of that, in the UK, the National Health Service of the UK and its branch, the HTA, the Health Technology Assessment, got very interested, and presently they are running a study in 16 of their hospitals, enrolling over 720 stroke patients, with the goal to see if the same type of outcome in terms of economical outcome that was observed in the VA study would also be applicable to the British system of healthcare. So they are very eager to understand how much it costs. They believe on the efficacy that we can show benefits when compared to usual care, but they also want to understand if that would also lead to savings, or at least no increase in cost in the British system.
If I'm a therapist, What will it mean to me if my hospital or clinic acquires this technology?
It means a lot to the therapist. Let me just mention a few points, and there are many. First of all, I think it would be highly gratifying for the therapist to see that their patients are improving, and improving perhaps in a shorter period of time. Another aspect that I think is very important, to some extent, you might say that rehabilitation is the poor cousin in the family. And by introducing new technologies would make not only their standing, but also the jobs of the therapist more interesting. They would evolve to a supervisory role where they are not just delivering the therapy, but also carefully understanding how to use the technology to tailor the application to the particular patient need. And it would make the job easier for them to do. So would not need to be all the time hands-on. That can be very tiring, but would allow them to use tools to increase their productivity. But there are other aspects in rehab robotics that we cannot forget. Not only we can use the robots to deliver therapy, but also to evaluate patient progress in a very quantitative and very precise way. So we providing not only tools to deliver therapy, but also tools to track progress and let the therapist clearly see what are the deficits that the patient might have and how to try to lead the patient to a better outcome. And from the clinical perspective, I have seen that many places that consider this technology, they think that this become highly attractive for the clinicians to work in the place because it's motivating not only for the therapists, but also for the patients and the families.
What else is Bionic Laboratories planning that will complement or extend the InMotion product line?
We have developed for more than 20 years now the products for the upper extremity. Now we are taking the challenge that the American Heart Association and others had placed on us and developed similar quality technology for the lower extremity. So we have run trials with what we call an AnkleBot with different clinical partners since 2004, and the results have been very promising. So one of the first goals and short-term goal is to introduce this lower extremity device to the clinical use. And we have also other devices for the lower extremity to train not only the ankle, but the whole gait of the patients in the clinical setting. So we are going to very soon expand from the upper extremity to the lower extremity in the same systematic approach, taking neuroscience basis to develop the technology and test the technology, and we have done that already for the AnkleBot. So then we can get the positive endorsements from the American Heart Association and others, demonstrating that we can lead to better results than just usual care. Now, in addition to that, Bionics Laboratory is going beyond rehabilitation technology to assistive technology. So our goal when we develop rehabilitation technologies, try to promote patient improvement and outcomes. So hopefully they will be able to leave the clinic without the need of assistive technology. But we know that in many cases that won't be possible. So we are also developing assistive technologies like exoskeletal robots that would assist the patient after they leave the clinic to try to enable them to be more able to participate in quality life in their everyday life.
Dr. Krebs, thank you for sharing your expertise about this technology, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Frank. Much appreciated.